Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, everybody, and everybody from around the world. Thank you for coming at whatever time of day it is for you, or night, as the case may be, where I am. Welcome to the free webinar, Transforming Personal Relationships, with Luis Angel Diaz. And Luis is going to be taking you through some really wonderful things to do with what relationships are, how we sabotage them, and how we can make them better. And want to point this out that this is the first of a series of events that Luis and I will be co-hosting throughout the year, and Luis will be training and teaching throughout the year on relationships. We thought this was a very, very important topic. It's at the forefront of everybody's mind because we're in relationship all the time, as Luis says again and again. He points this out again and again. And there are so many different kinds of relationships that every month we're going to be talking about a different kind of relationship. Today, we're going to be going really pretty general, not going to be going into detail about specific relationships. Just for, if any of you are curious, next month we're going to get specifically into intimate relationships, and so we'll talk more about that. But today it's about all kinds of relationships, relationships in general. And, you know, I think you're going to learn some things that would be maybe surprising to some of you. Something I want to do is introduce myself. Many of you have heard me before if you've been to some of these webcasts before. My name is Lynn Serafin, and I'm a transformation coach myself, and I'm also a book promotion coach. I had the great honor and privilege of working with Luis to help him launch his excellent book, Memory in the Cells, How to Change Behavioral Patterns and Release the Pain Body. Sorry, I forgot the subtitle for a second. And it was an international bestseller, number one bestseller last October. If you haven't picked up the book, I do recommend it because it talks all about the kinds of things we're going to be talking about tonight with regards to healing emotional wounds and things like that. The other thing Luis is going to show you tonight about maybe about 45 minutes into the call, 50 minutes into the call, he's going to give you a practical exercise to do. And he showed it to me yesterday. He just gave me a little hint of it, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. And it's something that you're going to be able to take away with you tonight, something practical that you can use, even if you never come to another class. You can use it in your personal relationships after the call is over. And the other thing is that we will be taking questions at the top of the hour. About an hour into the call, we'll be taking your personal questions. Go ahead and put them in the web form on the page. I'm sorry, Susanna, I said chat. There is no chat for this. I apologize if I used the word chat. There's actually no chat for this class because we'd like you to be really focused and not kind of socializing off on the side. So we don't have a chat, but you can post your questions in the web form on the page. So I'm sorry if I used the word chat. That was my mistake. Well, without any further ado, I would like to introduce your leader, your facilitator tonight, and the person who's going to be taking on this this journey of transforming personal relationships, Luis Angel Diaz.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm Pleasure doing well.
Yeah, what a subject, really, huh? It's amazing to see that we are in relationships all the time, and we don't have an education about it. We don't know how to deal with them. And we find ourselves in all sorts of confusing situations. We don't know how to deal with conflicts. We find ourselves in power struggles and misunderstandings and different relationships where sometimes there is abuse or criticism, sometimes violence, drama, you know, drama in relationships, you know, in general.
Absolutely.
As you mentioned before, we are not going to focus on any type of relationship today because we have a plan for the year to meet once a month for these three conferences. So we're going to be covering different aspects of relationships that we have as human beings. We are also in relationships with the planet. We are in relationships with the area we are living in. We are in relationships with money, in our professions.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is a relationship. The relationship with the divine, with the sacred, with spirit, even though we are so much in relationships all the time, we don't have an education about it. So this is what it is about. It's about emotional education. It's about healing ourselves from the wounds created by misunderstanding, by patterns from the past that they have been creating so much pain in our ancestors, and of course in our children, because we just pass on to them. There is a way to stop that. There is a way to change that, and it requires commitment. It requires, you know, our own dedication. This is not the magic pill. You know, we have a work to do. We had to get into the business of healing ourselves and help our families heal, and pretty much everything takes from there. It's really, really amazing what happens when you make the change in yourself. There are several questions here that I just put them all together because they all go to the same place, and it's about self-healing. It's about committing to your own transformation. That is, it is possible. You know, I did it myself. I'm still doing it. You have been doing it. Many people that I know, I've been seeing, you know, people in consultations for many years in trainings, and it is possible. You see the changes. And what you cannot foresee is what's going to happen after the change happens, because the transformation of yourself means your consciousness, your awareness. It's a shift in your perception of life and the perception of yourself. And you never can predict what's going to happen when that healing happens.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, Luis, because I know when we were preparing for this class, we were saying, well, who is likely to be on the call? Who are the people who are most likely to want to be on this call with the title Transforming Personal Relationships? And you said to me that you were going to assume that very many of them, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people on the call are probably in a relationship that has some challenges that they want to fix, that they want to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and if that's an assumption, that's an assumption. We apologize if that's not the case with you on the call tonight. But I'm assuming that that's probably the case with a lot of people on the call tonight, that they have some kind of relationship, whether it's a work relationship or a parental or, you know, parent-child or an intimate relationship or friend relationship that they want to improve.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'm hearing you say is that it's not so much a matter of trying to fix something or think about the outcome. It's a matter of shifting our relationship with ourselves. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, that's the center, that's the core. And from there, everything happens after that. If you have a relationship with yourself based on criticism, you're going to, of course, criticize yourself. You're going to easily criticize others. And you're going to attract critical people into your life.
Mm.
And that happens in all the orders, in all the levels. Whatever you do inside of yourself is what others do to you and what you are prone to do to others, because those are the waters you are swimming into. If you are,
and, you know,
if you are swimming into yellow waters, everything around you is going to be yellow.
Be yellow. There's a question, but we don't have to answer this question now, but maybe hold the question, because I have a feeling it'll be something we'll come up with later. But one of your neighbors in Grass Valley is asking for suggestions on how to work with other people's projections. Now, we're not going to get to specific questions now, but what's going on when other people are seeing things in us? What's really happening there?
I'd like to center our talk today on the foundation that if you really want a transformation in your relationships, you had to stop trying to change other people.
Yeah.
And you had to stop trying to teach or preach other people what they had to do or how they had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about yourself. So mm-hmm. if someone is seeing projections on you, probably is judging you, because otherwise mm-hmm. they wouldn't tell you what's going on with you. And if they are judging you, probably you are tough on yourself. You judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're attracting people saying those things to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Again, it always goes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put things in order in your house, you're going to realize that everything starts dancing differently around you.
Mm-hmm.
When you realize, you know, the first thing is awareness. But awareness is not everything. But you have to realize that your bed is in the kitchen, that the toilet is in the bedroom, and that the refrigerator is in the backyard, to realize, okay, I need to change things around here if I want myself to function. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's awareness. But awareness is not enough. Then you have to make a plan to make the changes. Yes, and that is not enough. You had to do it. and there are some questions here, people that says, you know, I've been working so much on myself, I've been doing so much inner work, and okay, yes, and then what? Had you done the changes that your awareness shows you that need to happen in order for you to transform your life?
Well, let's start talking about those changes. I know that when we were preparing for this, you said that we have to start with values. What is that? That's the starting point, how do we define them?
Yeah, everything comes to energy. We are pure energy. We are
mm-hmm.
made out of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something I discover. You know, it's a scientific fact that everything that exists is made out of pure energy. And in the nature of energy, there are certain properties, certain characteristics that energy has. One of the main features of energy is flowing, is connection. That when we experience this in our human experience, it becomes what we call love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I love you. Why? Because I feel connected to you. Because there is energy flowing between us. And therefore,
mm-hmm.
I call it love at a human level. But
mm-hmm.
at a universal level, it's just energy connecting things.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as human beings, we have certain main characteristics that come from the fact that we are pure energy, like freedom. We
mm-hmm.
all value freedom. Why? Because energy flows freely.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we love freedom. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we want freedom. We want love. Why? Because we want connection. And relationship is all about connection. If we feel connected, we feel good. If we don't feel connection, we don't feel good. And when you start exploring your relationships, you may be surrounded with people, but you might not feel connected to them. You may sleep with your spouse next to you in your bed, and you feel disconnected from them. So that is what makes the quality in our relationships, connection. And what affects connection is a series of foundational values that are very important for us. And when they are not being exercised in a relationship is when we suffer the relationship. And then we start blaming the other person because the relationship is not working, or we blame ourselves. But what is happening is that we are not living up to our soul values, what really constitute what we are. And one of them is, I think one of the most important one is trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is it goes first. You might have love in a relationship, but you might not have trust in the relationship. It's like, okay, I love my mother, but I don't trust her with my things. I don't tell her what happens in my life. I don't trust her because she may get angry, or she may get worried, or she may try to fix or give me advice, or she preaches me or criticizes me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't trust my spouse. I don't trust my children. I don't trust my parents, because all these things that I just mentioned, that when you have them in the relationship, then you feel close. And that's what we want. We want to feel close. Love becomes after. When you have trust, then love grows and deepens. Otherwise, yes, I love my sister, but I see her once a year, and we just talk about the weather. Yeah. So don't look for love. Look for these basic pillars in relationships, being trust, one that is very, very important. So explore your relationship, especially that relationship that you are concerned about. What is the level of trust there?
Mm-hmm.
Something you said, you kind of
let it slip by, but I remember when we were talking earlier, you said that some people find it to be a very controversial statement that love actually comes after connection and closeness, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's something you said, and you said some people find that controversial. Can you talk more about that?
Oh, yeah,
that concept?
Because we have a culture that has been romanticized.
Mm-hmm.
And even though part of the romanticism of this thinking, of this romantic thinking, is that romanticism is a good thing. Yes?
Yes.
So
uh-huh.
That's also controversial, because romanticism is very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, romanticism is what makes our relationships get sour, and we don't actually get all these good things that we want to experience, like real love and harmony and connection and closeness, exactly because we have all these romantic ideas about what a relationship should be like.
Can you tell us what you mean by romantic? Just because people may have different concepts of what that word means. What do you mean by that?
Romantic ideas about relationship is fantasies. Yeah. What a relationship should be like, what a man should be like, what a woman should be like, how I should be treated. We learn that in movies, in magazines, in fairy tales, and we think that that's real, and that is not real. We buy that. It sells a lot, but when you go to a real relationship, that's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Being jealous is considered part of the romanticism of life. You know, it's like, oh, if she's jealous, means that she loves me. And we don't realize that someone that is jealous is wounded and needs healing. It's someone that has a problem with trusting, with security. It feels unsafe and has a low level of self-confidence and is afraid. That's a jealous person.
Absolutely.
So I expect, if you love me, you have to be jealous. That's a romantic idea about relationships that hurts, because it creates drama. Yeah? So that's an example.
one of our mutual friends, online friends, Jeff Lawton, he's got a little ebook that's called Why Happily Ever After Doesn't Work. it's exactly what you're talking about, this really toxic idea of romanticism that has nothing to do with love connection.
And you know, we feed our kids with that information. You know, it's, you know, it's in the fairy tales. You know, I see my granddaughter sometimes, you know, they are reading her those stories or they watch those movies full of toxic information that they think, okay, this is what life is about. This is what a couple is about. This is what marriage is about. And notice how many of the movies and stories, they end when they get married.
Yeah.
When the real thing starts when you get married, you know?
Yeah.
So you are 90 minutes, 2 hours watching a movie for two people to get married, and everybody's happy after that. So that's the message we are receiving, you know. I was receiving it since I am very young.
So if that's the false story, what's the real story, Luis? What's the real story of healthy relationships?
Well, for those of you that are participating today, just get, you know, pen and paper and write down these main pillars, you know, trust. Do I feel trust in this relationship? What do I do to bring trust into the relationship? Or what do I do to take away trust from the relationship? Like what I was mentioning before, you know, if I don't feel I can express my thoughts, my opinions, or I can express my feelings in a relationship, it's because I don't trust the other person. Maybe I am the one that is not being trusted, and the other person is not expressing their thoughts or opinions or feelings to me, because maybe I preach them, maybe I try to fix them, maybe I analyze them, I do the therapist's job, yeah? Oh, this happens to you because, you know, your relationship with your mother or your father or this or that, and that is very toxic in a relationship because there is no equality. I am on a podium, and I am looking you from far above, telling you what's wrong with you. And if you are doing that in your relationships, don't expect closeness. You may have a marriage, you may have a father or a daughter, but you don't have closeness. That is what gives actually the joy in relationships, the trust, the connection, the openness that happens when there is closeness. So things that we do to create trust is being honest. So honesty is another pillar. Yeah, honesty, openness, authenticity, expressing my beingness, what's going on with me. If I cannot do that in a relationship, well, there is no closeness.
And on another call, when we were talking about pain body release, you said that basically, we're educated to deal with our emotions in two ways. This is the education we've received as we've grown up, that either we suppress them or we express them usually in an unhealthy way to others. We express them to others. So how do, for people who may say, I am honest, I say what's on my mind, but for them, honesty means getting into conflicts all the time because, you know, this can happen too.
Yeah.
What's the difference between real honesty and just blurting out and being very venomous and angry and just expressing all the time? What's the difference between real honesty and that?
Well, here we're taking on a branch that is very important, that is what we call conscious communication. And conscious communication is important. We need to learn it. As you can see, there is work that needs to be done. That's why I said this is not a magic pill. So, this is the reason why most of the people are not honest, because they don't want to hurt other people's feelings, or they don't want the other person to get angry at them, or react or exclude them or disapprove them. So they choose to hold what's going on with them, and that of course creates separation. Each withhold that you have is a wall between you mm-hmm. and the other person. Mm-hmm. Anything that you hold inside is going to create separation. Mm-hmm. That's why the word intimacy comes from into me, you see. So you can see me. I can see you. There are no walls between us. We can see each other. We are translucent, yeah? Mm-hmm. And that is what connection is about and what is create closeness and makes your love grow and deepen. So to be able to express yourself in an honest way, but also in a compassionate way, that is very difficult to find those two things in together, being mm-hmm. honest and compassionate at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's an art. You develop mm-hmm. it with practice. And
yeah, and
of all,
I think
you need to know that it's possible, yeah?
Yeah, I'm listening. If we keep what you're saying in mind, Luis, that the underlying goal is connection, that it's always connection,
yeah.
And that if we think that we're being honest because we're expressing our anger, you know, we're just shouting our heads off, if when we're doing that, we're creating more separation,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that might be a good measurement to whether or not we're expressing our anger. Do we feel more connected to ourselves, or do we feel more separated from ourselves when we're expressing that anger? That might be a good cornerstone to hold on to, is just keeping in mind connection all the time.
Yeah, and, you know, keep in mind that we are exploring here, you know, like the different departments of a healthier relationship. And
mm-hmm.
The participants that are listening to us today, if they are committed to make it happen, they had to commit to work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have a pain body, and
mm-hmm.
we need to know what to deal with this part of us that is a lot of emotions in us that have not been processed or digested. So that's a piece of work that I need to do before communicating with this person that I love and I care about. So if I have this all this aggression and violence in me that I'm feeling, and I'm going to go and talk with my son about something that he did or said, of course I'm going to express myself with violence and aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
mm-hmm.
going to hurt the relationship, and it's going to affect the trust between
seriously.
My son and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will have to work hard to fix it, because
mm-hmm.
that's what happens. When the trust is gone, then it takes a lot to fix it and to
mm-hmm.
make it grow back to what it was.
Oh, I can relate to that.
It goes away in a moment, and it comes back maybe in 5 years. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So before bringing all my, at this moment, justify violence and aggression because I feel so right when my pain body took over my life at that moment, I had to do my pain body release work. I had to take responsibility for the energy that I'm feeling. And once I do that release, then I go and I talk to my son and I say, okay, this is what's going on. This is how I feel. This is what I want. And because I'm interested in the connection, I don't want to blame, punish this person, you know, demonize them, because I'm interested in this connection. It's my son, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So as you said before, the main priority is connection. But how can I be totally authentic and really show what's going on with me and
mm-hmm.
how hurt I feel and how disappointed I feel or sad I feel to someone that I want to be close to? So it's
mm-hmm.
an art, you know? It's like a dance that you learn the moves. Now we are dancing our relationship in the way we learn from our parents and from the culture and from all the movies and books that we read, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we dance our relationships. So we are not very good at building trust. We are not very good at being honest. We lie a lot. We withhold information for different reasons and excuses. And then we wonder why I don't feel close to this person. Why my daughter doesn't talk to me about her life? Why my husband watches movies all the time and doesn't connect with me?
It breaks my heart. And actually, Luis, on the page that we put together for promoting this event, you said it's heartbreaking. It is. It breaks my heart when I think about it, because I just think of exactly what you're saying. I'm thinking of my own parents and how disconnected everybody was when I was growing up, and everybody wondering why nobody else was connecting to them. But it's really tragic. I think it's the biggest tragedy of human existence is when we're in that place.
And it's based on ignorance. Ignorance and a lot of lies.
A lot of lies. So I want to say two things. First of all, somebody said, oh, boy, can I please play this for somebody else? Is this going to be recorded? Yes, this is being recorded, and you'll be able to download this after the event's over. So just want to make sure you know that. And now I want to get back to these pillars. You're talking about these are really pillars for transforming our relationships. So far you've mentioned trust and honesty, and you said there were four of them. So what's the third one?
Well, a third component is respect, being able to respect the other person's choices, respecting their time, their space, all this invasion that we do in relationships, that we do to others, or we allow them to do to us.
Mm-hmm.
Respect is very important because it builds trust, and we know how important trust is by now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have in front of us is not my son, my husband, my mother. First and foremost, it's a human being. And it's playing the role of my friend, my manager, my coworker, but it's a human being that also is made out of pure energy and has soul values that are very important for them.
Mm-hmm.
So love is very important for them, freedom is very important, compassion, integrity, honesty, trust, all those things are very important for them. So respect, if I don't bring respect into a relationship, how do I expect closeness? It's not going to happen. The other person is going to be protecting themselves.
Tell us what, I love defining terms. You know that I love defining terms because I think it's really important that everybody understand what you mean by this so they can really get what these pillars are. What are the cornerstones of respect? What goes into respect? What does it mean? And also you mentioned the word invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that too. What does it mean to invade? What kind of things do we do when we invade?
Mm-hmm. Well, lack of respect creates a defensiveness and protection in the other person. Therefore, the other person is not going to share themselves openly to us. When I exercise respect, I see the other person as an equal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not superior to them. I don't have more rights than them. And they are equal. Why? Because first and foremost, they are human beings. It doesn't matter if it's my five-year-old granddaughter. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's a human being that has values and deserves respect. A very important human value is autonomy, being able to make my choices. And respecting other people's choices. So by now, I know that people that are listening and if they're taking notes, they're realizing, wow, now I realize why this relationship is so toxic. Because they are not being respected, or they are not respecting the other person, or it's totally mutual disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see you like a human being. I see you like an object, and you belong to me. I possess you. You are mine, and you're supposed to do what I like, and we have to share what we are supposed to share because we are family, because we belong to this religion, or we belong to these political ideas, and you don't have autonomy. You cannot think of your own. You have to think in the way we are supposed to think. So there is the way we invade each other, and that creates this connection. That affects the trust and the closeness in the relationship.
Mm.
So I mentioned equality, and equality is the last pillar that I think if we keep in mind these four main values, and we work towards transforming our relationship based on them, 5 years from now, you're going to look at your life and you're going to notice a big change in all your relationships. And that's a good exercise to do, you know. How do I want to feel in 5 years in the area of relationships? Just ask yourself. And it's about feelings. It's not about imagining, visualizing your ideal life with your soulmate in 5 years. No. We are not talking about that. How do you want to feel? If I ask you 5 years from now, how do you feel about your relationships now? What do you want to answer? I want to feel, I feel peace and harmony. I feel trust. I feel safe. I feel free. What do you want to answer 5 years from now? What do you answer now? What is your answer now? How do you feel in the area of relationships? And remember, you can go friendships, you can go family relationships, you can go relationship with your children, with your profession, intimate relationships, yeah? Sexual relationships. So it's about feelings, because if you feel good, everything is good. If you don't feel good, things are not good, yeah? So, and remember, you mentioned before the tree of relationships. Remember that we talked about that in CMR in different ways, and how the tree of relationship, you see how well you are doing in the area through the fruits, the results of your relationships. What you see around are the fruits of your tree of relationships, and the quality and the quantity of the fruits are in relation with the health in the roots of your tree. Now, what's going on in the roots of your tree? What memories do you have there? What experiences do you have there? What patterns? What beliefs? What contractions? How much pain body you have in the roots of your tree of relationships? Are you holding fear? Are you holding shame? Are you holding anger? Are you holding sadness? So that is going to show in your fruits. That's why I go back to the beginning of the meeting today. We need to do a work on ourselves if we want to change in the results. So
I got knocked off the line.
Luck, huh? So you missed it.
What's that?
You missed the main part.
Oh no! I should have called in on Skype.
Just share the secret to fix all your relationships, and you were not there.
Oh no! I'm gonna have to listen to the playback. Can you help me?
No, I was just talking about the tree of relationships. And
right.
How what we have in the roots affects the fruits, and what we have in the roots is our upbringing, is our programming, is our history, all those patterns that we need to be able to work on and change. And now we have the tools to do it. You know, that's good news because, you know, 50 years ago, 30 years ago, we were totally cooked. The only tool we had was the TV, yeah?
Totally cooked or baked. So I want to get back to it. I don't think you've said this while I got knocked off on the off the line, but you were talking about equality before, and I want to go just a little deeper in that because I know later on the call you're going to give us an exercise.
Yeah.
And the thing is, tell us some of the subtle ways that we actually create inequality, and you know, things that we may not have thought about.
Yeah, if you want flowing love and closeness in a relationship, you have to work towards equality. So get down that pedestal and find a way to meet your son, your partner, your friend, whoever is in a relationship as equals, where there is reciprocity, where you are able to work on different situations and create win-win situations. It's not true that one of you had to win and the other has to lose. That's not real. You can work on situations where there is reciprocity, where there is mutuality, and both benefit. And when that happens, the relationship flourishes, and both enjoy it. So when there is no equality, or you know more than the other person, you have more money, you have more power, you have more knowledge, you are stronger, therefore the other person is weaker, is poorer, is more stupid. And when you do that in relationships, don't expect closeness. What you're going to have is someone depending on you or you depending on some other person. And we play this game a lot in relationships. For example, you know, always giving advice, always helping the other person, or always being helped, always needing someone else's advice, yeah? So I go for life looking for my dad, yeah, or looking for a therapist. So I'm not looking for an equal. I'm looking for someone to help me get out of whatever I consider I cannot do for myself. So those relationships exist. They are bound, they are all over the place, but not necessarily means closeness and enjoyment in the relationship, yeah? You can live together in inequality, yeah? So,
Yes, go ahead. Sorry, what were you going to say?
So the subtle ways where we create inequality is when I don't respect the other person like a human being that has the same rights and the same values that I do. When I see the other
person. A word you mentioned yesterday, Luis, the word you mentioned yesterday was rescuing, and I thought that was such an interesting concept, the idea of rescuing, because you know, and I was teasing, saying, I remember a few years ago, if people know me, they know I don't watch television, but I maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I saw on somebody's TV an episode of Sex and the City where they talked about women wanting to be rescued and all of this stuff. But it's like really deeper than that.
Yeah.
Rescuing is very, very subtle. What is rescuing, and how does that reflect inequality?
Well, in rescuing, you need a rescuer, Superman, and a rescued that is the weaker, the poorer, the dumber, yeah? So you need someone that knows more or has more or is stronger and that's the one that rescues the other one. When you have rescuing in your relationships, you have separation. You don't have closeness. And rescuing is one of the reasons why most of the relationships get toxic and they get destroyed.
Can you give examples of the way that we rescue that we might not realize we're rescuing or wanting to be rescued by someone?
Yeah. Well, doing things for another person that they can do for themselves, that's a way to rescue that we do a lot, and that creates separation. Doing things for another person without they asking for it.
Mm.
Let me fix that for you. Let me do your laundry. Let me fix. Let me pay your rent. Yeah. Or you cannot do it as well as I do it. Let me do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These are all habits that we carry from raising our children.
How many times do parents bail out their adult children financially?
Yeah.
You know, again and again and again and again, thinking that they're helping, and it never stops. And there's just all this resentment.
Yeah.
And that's
or
very
giving
toxic,
advice.
Isn't it?
Giving advice.
Or giving advice, yeah.
Like for some parents, the only relationship they have with their children is giving them advice, preaching them and telling them what they have to do. So it's like dad never gets down the podium, you know. They're always on top. They always know more. And they never see me as a human being, you know. I'm always a small child. But we do this, we transfer these habits to our spouses. We transfer these habits to our jobs. When we are good at rescuing, we also expect to be rescued. And this is what actually creates the toxicity in the relationship, because rescuing creates resentment. Sooner or later, we resent it. The rescuer expects the rescued to pay back in different ways. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if I pay your rent, I expect you to invite me when you invite your friends to, I don't know, to celebrate whatever, but you don't. You don't invite me. Why? Because we don't have an equal relationship. So I'm higher than you. I have more money. I have more power. Yeah. So the person that is being rescued resents being rescued, even though they like it, but they resent it because it's disempowering. Yeah. I don't get a chance to really do it myself. So subconsciously, I resent to be rescued, and the rescuer resents that the rescue one doesn't do the things in the way he expects. Sooner or later, that relationship is going to get toxic and probably is going to be destroyed if it's not a family relationship. Family relationship, they stay. Rescuing stays forever. And that's why you have, you know, that, yeah, you meet with your sisters or with your parents, but actually you feel very disconnected from them, and there is a lot of resentment in the relationship.
We have so many questions coming in, but I do want to get into them, and I also know that you have, on this very topic of rescuing,
I gave them an exercise.
Tell us what it's going to be before we take this short break. But what's the exercise going to be? What are we going to experience after the break?
Well, it's an exercise that I'm going to give you so you can start exploring rescuing in your life. And you will realize why that relationship is not working, why you're having so many problems in that relationship, because you have rescuing. So I'm going to give you some guidelines for you to start working with rescuing that for most of you is a new concept. And I know when I teach this, you know, in events that I can see people, I can see their faces. Like sometimes, you know, I can see smoke coming out of their ears because you realize, my God, this is what I've been doing, you know.
Yeah.
This is what I keep repeating, the same pattern. This is why, you know, my relationship keeps failing and I have so much turmoil and drama going on.
I won't go too in too much detail because I want to make sure we go move on. We're a little behind time. Last night when Louise was talking to me about this, I realized that in my past marriage that I was playing both ends of this rescuing rescuer thing continually, and that was the eye opener for me, that you kind of can sometimes dance between both of them, and you may not be just one or the other, and that and either is very toxic, and both roles create resentment and separation. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting. So I know you're going to get a lot out of that exercise that Louise is going to show in just a few minutes. But what I wanted to tell you about was where Louise is going next with all of this with you. We've been working really hard behind the scenes to create something for people who really want to take this healing process further, because he's received hundreds and hundreds of requests for this. And Louise is going to be launching a new program called CMR Fundamentals. Now, for those of you who don't know what CMR stands for, if you haven't read his book, it stands for Cellular Memory Release. And it is, if you've been on some of his other calls, it's about healing the pain body, learning how to release the pain body, and also changing thought patterns, habitual thought patterns. It's a whole process. But the fundamentals is really a course for you to activate your self-healing. And it is a 3-month or a 4-month program, Louise? I've forgotten now. I'm looking at it. 3-month program, yeah, 3-month program. It's starting on March 17th, so you've got a little bit of time to think about this. But it is Louise, you go ahead and talk about it because I'm reading it off the paper, and you'd be better to talk about it just off the top of your head. Tell us about CMR Fundamentals.
Well, it's called Fundamentals because you learn the basic process to heal yourself, to transform all these toxic patterns. You can use it for as long as you want. It is applicable to any pattern that you recognize. I want to change this, eliminate it. I want to bring a different kind of experience into my life. And especially is very, very effective in the area of relationships. That is that's the most important piece, where CMR has a wonderful effect. So you're going to learn a process in those 9 weeks that you're going to keep using for the rest of your life, because it really, really grounds you in all the different levels that you need to access: emotional level, transforming the pain body, belief system, transforming, deactivating toxic beliefs, accessing the wounds from the past, doing healing in the past, accessing the resources that we all have, our inner wisdom and power, so you can access it, so that you can connect with it and can guide you, so you find your own guidance system. And all this, remember that I said before, okay, we also need to learn conscious communication, and there are all different levels and dimensions that then you can add to this basic foundational structure. You can grow from it, but at least you have something strong and reliable to trust and start working with.
And, if some of you are saying, well, how is this going to impact my relationships if the other person isn't doing it with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, you both could do it, but even if not, as Louise was saying before, if you think about the fact that we're all energy, if you are working on your energy, you're going to create a shift. And again, as we started saying at the beginning of the call, it's not about fixing relationships the way you may have in your mind right now. It's about you healing yourself. And when you're in that place and your energy is in flow, as Luis was saying, connection is flow. And when you're in that flowing energy and that freedom energy, when you're in that place, your relationships will change. Mm-hmm. We can't say how they're going to change. They are not necessarily going to be the fairy tale change, but they're going to change, and they will change in a more authentic, more connected way.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you to stand in your values. So that's really the connection between CMR fundamentals and relationships.
It's really amazing what happens when you start doing the transformation work on yourself. You never expect the changes that happen in the people around you. Because we are energy beings, and they are also energy beings. So you change your energy patterns, and if they wanna be close to you, they have to change also themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And many things could happen, that they change mm-hmm. with you, that they change time after you, that they never change, and you find a way to fully accept them and love them as they are and live at peace in the way things are. Or mm-hmm. that you had to separate and find someone else. So mm-hmm. the possibilities are open, yeah? But mm-hmm. what is under your control is your inner work. You don't have mm-hmm. control over all these other possibilities, and much less you have any control on someone else's inner work.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just to reiterate, what Luis would be working on during those 3 months would be all the foundations of pain body release, all the fundamentals of cellular memory release, working on the pain body trapped negative emotions from the past, and past relationships, past generations, all of those kinds of things, and really helping you build that awareness so that you can start to be consciously creating the kinds of relationships that you want in your life, and best of all, the relationship with yourself. And Luis will use the analogy of the tree, and he's saying, well, if you heal the roots, then you'll get good fruit. So I love that. That's a nice rhyme. The course is going to start on March 17th, which is a Thursday. They will be at the same time as this. That's 12 p.m. Pacific. Manual, an e-book called Release the Pain Body. Now, it's a manual about the pain body release process. It's not exactly the same as Luis's book, Memory and the Cells. This one is a step-by-step manual, and it's a really practical guidance. It gives you something really to work with in the course. And something else Luis is offering that he's not done before is what we call a combi offer, and that's for people who want to do a little bit of private work with Luis. And you can take the 9-week course plus 3 private sessions with him, and you'll get the ebook and also a DVD, plus a signed copy of Luis's book, Memory in the Cells, and the DVD's on pain body release. And that's the combi offer. So that's the course, 3 private sessions with Luis, the ebook, the DVD, and his signed copy of the book. And we want to get back to doing the exercise with Luis.
So everything mm-hmm. is there. And if they have any question, send an email to the info account, that is info@cellularmemory.org.
I'm really looking forward to CMR Fundamentals because I kind of want to sit alongside of it and go with it with you. I think it's going to be a fantastic course. So please do send your questions to Luis or check out the links, and hopefully we'll see a whole bunch of you on that on March 17th. Let's get to the exercise. We called it last night the personal rescuing barometer
mm-hmm.
to find out how much of a rescuer we are.
Yeah.
Take us through that. What is it? What are we going to do?
Yeah, we're going to share because of the time of this conference. We're going to share a couple of the most important points of this exercise that I share with all my students in different events and my clients when I give sessions to them. There are 6 steps. We're going to share 2 of them. I mean, no steps, points, because there are different ways, angles to find rescue in your life. So the first one is the one I just mentioned, that is when one of the members of the relationship do for the other person something that they can do for themselves. So write down. Doing for the other person something that they can do for themselves. Write it down. And then you have three choices here. One, when I do that, therefore I am rescuing. So when I am the rescuer. Second, when I am being rescued. So if someone else does that for me, I can't do it for myself, but they are doing it for me. And the third option is when I expect to be rescued in this area. When I'm looking for to be rescued in this area, I want you to do that for myself, even though I can do it myself. So that is
so we're asking ourselves. We're asking ourselves these questions. When do I do things for others that they can do themselves? When do others do things for me that I can do myself? And when do I expect others to do something for me that I could do for myself? Those three questions?
Yes, yes. So that means when I am the rescuer, when I am the rescued one, or when I expect to be rescued. It's like, you know, when we play, this is something we're gonna go deeper into our next conference about intimacy, but when we play what we call the psychic game, where he should know that I need that, pretty much I don't say anything expecting that the other person is going to rescue me. And then I get frustrated and angry because they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So the psychic game, when the mind reader game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is one area, one angle that is the first one in this exercise. The second one is when I don't express my opinions, my thoughts, my feelings to another person because they might get angry, they might get hurt, they may disapprove or not accept me. For whatever reason, I withhold information from them. So I rescue another person when I do that, and I rescue them how? I rescue them from the experience of having to hear my truth. I rescue them from the experience of having to hear my worry, my anger, my needs, my sadness. So find the ways you do that, rescuing people in that way. Find the ways other people do that to you. They don't tell you stuff because they are afraid of your reaction. And the last option is when you expect them to do that for you. Like I have this client that he was telling me, and I told my mother when I was 25 that I had been doing this and this and those drugs, and she said, "Oh my God, you know, I wish you never told me that." So it's like I expect you not to tell me the truth. Yeah? Is it clear?
Mm-hmm.
So explore those two things. I think
we should write those down and send them to people in the follow-up, Luis. Those are great questions.
As a homework. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going through so many things in my mind.
I know. This moves a lot of stuff. But you know, if you don't find out that the toilet is in the kitchen and the bed is in the bathroom, you know, you will never be able to do the changes around. So awareness is very important.
That second question you asked about others don't, you know, not expressing their thoughts to me. They, people express their thoughts to me all the time now. But I remember when I was like a teenager, there was a time when I felt like I was the last to know anything in my circle of friends. Nobody told me anything. And they said, well, it's because, Lynn, you just get so upset.
Yeah.
And I realized I was creating a lack of the space for my friends to be honest with me,
because I
would react,
right.
And fortunately I changed that at a pretty early age, and people seem to open up to me on trains now. Yeah, I mean, I know them for 5 minutes, and they tell me their life stories. So, but I remember as a teenager constantly saying, "How come I'm always the last to know?" And it's because people were afraid to tell me because I would cry or I'd get unhappy or I'd push away their emotions.
Yeah.
Like that.
So everything that happens in your relationship is about you.
Mm-hmm.
We like it or not. So in this case, you were able to make the changes so that people now trust you more and there is more closeness in your connection. And I'm sure that there is some people listening now that maybe are where you were, you know, 30 years ago. And,
30 years ago, thank you so much. It's more 40 years ago.
Okay, well,
you keep
track of the numbers. So what I want you to have in this first conference is an overview. If you don't have enough trust, if you don't have enough equality, if you don't have enough honesty, if you don't have these foundations that we are just talking about, don't expect joy in your relationships. So those things need to change, and they need to get adjusted to these foundations. And when you are flowing with this energy, then you will notice everything goes into the right place. And you experience harmony and closeness in your relationships.
Wonderful.
So by now, most of the questions that you sent us before this show are answered.
And
because
there
it's
are some
not about
that
the
in.
Other person. It's about you and how you dance, how you do your movements in your dance.
Fantastic. And I just want to remind people, Luis said at the beginning of that exercise, that personal rescuing barometer, that it actually has six sets of inquiry questions. We've only done two sets of the six.
Yeah, we want to keep
using them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do the others in the CMR fundamentals? Do you do that?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, we use. I mean, rescuing is key because it's so toxic and destroys relationships. So we need to be very, very aware of this process, how it happens.
Great. Well, you know, I loved that, Luis, and I want to work on the other ones with you. And I'm going to take away these questions and really think about them because they're fun and they're like really putting a mirror on yourself and seeing yourself very, very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And once you, it's like a light switch goes off, as you say. I don't know if smoke came out of my ears, but it is like a light switch where you say, oh, wow, this is how I'm creating that reaction in people. I'm creating this impact. And once you know that you're creating it, you can change it. And that's, it's so simple. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to
and
open the line.
Following what you are saying, I like to tell people that a common reaction is to really feel bad about what we did in the past because we didn't know what we know now. And you may feel remorse or regrets. And, you know, it's all right. Feel them. But you can start from new now. You can start from scratch. You can have better, healthier relationships from now on. And as I say, 5 years from now, when I ask you, you're going to be able to answer those things that you want to answer now. So, yes, there are casualties in the past. Yeah, it's past. It's gone. Whatever happened, happened. If you can do something to fix some of them, do it. Otherwise, move forward. You have plenty of relationships that you're going to meet in your life, and you don't have to keep repeating the same old dance with them again.
Fantastic. Great. No more same old dance, guys, and that's really good news. We're going to be opening the lines to questions now. If you're on the phone and want to ask a question, all you have to do is press *2, and it will raise your hand, and I will see that you're on the switchboard waiting to ask a question. And if you're listening via webcast, go ahead and, if you haven't put a question so far, go ahead and put it on the screen. I'm going to go through some of the questions I see now. I'm going to get rid of the really easy question. Belle in Australia, South Australia, Adelaide, South Australia, is saying, she got kicked off the line. Obviously, some of you got knocked off the webinar for a few minutes. Yes, this call is being recorded, and also the question is, what will happen with the full course and the three personal sessions with Louise? All of the classes will be recorded, and the personal sessions are personal sessions, so you can set those up with whatever time that you and Louise find suitable. That's totally one-to-one. So don't worry about having to show up. You guys will align that. But the classes...
I have several clients in Australia, so we find time to work.
Yes. So, and the classes themselves will be recorded, Belle. So I hope that answers your question. And let me see what else. A question that it's really, again, this is a heartbreaking question. Ishwari is asking, what happens if, you know, and you can hear the sadness in this. What if the roots of the disappointment of the relationship are disappointment and betrayal? What if you're really feeling disappointment and betrayal? How do we clean those roots up? What do we do, or what's going on?
Inner work, because sometimes we have our own programming getting in the way. How should things be or not to be? Conscious communication, knowing how to connect with the other person to create connection, not to blame, not to punish, not to judge. Knowing also to recognize when the season is over and it's time to move on. Sometimes that's the case in many relationships. And stop looking backwards and start looking forward. But to do that, we need to also do the inner work. We need to learn how to grieve. That is something that in our culture is only live for funerals. And even in those cases, most of the people don't grieve. They just think about grieving and talk about grieving. So sometimes we need to grieve a relationship that we lost. That is very important, grieving, and we don't do that in our culture much as much as we need to. So there are many things that only your inner work is gonna tell you where to go, because when you connect with who you really are and wake up in you that immense intelligence that we all have, then you are guided. You connect with your inner guidance system, and you know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's so many questions here. I'm trying to pick some that are more recent. Hold on just a second. And again, if you're on the switchboard, if you press *2, we'll see that. Okay, here's one. We'll see that you have a question for Luis. Just press star 2 and I'll unmute your line. This is Iman in Toronto, and he's asking if a person has a concern with someone with something their partner does, but the partner doesn't see that it's an issue, how can you see eye to eye? What do you do in a case like that where you really, really don't have the same criteria for behavior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is a matter of values, you know, and we have different priorities at a different time. We share the same values, but we have different strategies. Like all human beings share the value of peace, let's say. Yeah, we all value peace, and it's something that we all want to have. But the strategy to experience peace can be different from me to you. Like maybe for me, peace is sitting under a tree and reading a book. For you, peace is practicing yoga. For one of the listeners, peace is dancing. Yeah? So we share sometimes the same value, but we try to find that value through different strategies. And sometimes we fight over the strategies.
Yes.
Yeah? So, yeah. You know, like the marriage where the husband works, you know, many, many, many hours. She's upset because he's never at home, and he cannot spend time with the children. And so she's concerned about the children's well-being because the father doesn't spend time with them. So she's upset, and they feel bad, and blah, blah, blah. And when they start narrowing down to what are the values that are moving them to do what they are doing, for him is the well-being of his kids, and for her is the well-being of her kids. Mm-hmm. So they share the same value, they have different strategies. And sometimes that destroys relationships. And when people are able to connect with their values and they are able to see their values in the people around them, they start realizing, wow, you know, we are the same. We share the same, but we chose different strategies. Let's talk about the strategies now. And there is.
So it's really identifying where the connection exists, that the value, the underlying value is the
it's
same.
It's always about finding ways to connect. Getting away from the power struggle, getting away from the illusion that I'm going to make you change, because that creates more pain, more disconnection.
Ishwari is asking another question here. She's saying she's always expressed disappointment as anger to those close to me, to her. So she says she feels it's a bad habit. How can she change it? And she feels it's very heartbreaking. So disappointment comes out as anger.
Absolutely.
And she wants to change that behavior. How?
Yeah, yeah. And you end feeling very alone and separated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Inner work. You had to do your inner work because your disappointment and your anger are there for a good reason. So they are not wrong feelings. What you had to find is the cause, is the root, and do the transformation and the healing that is necessary.
Yeah, I'm just browsing through some of these other questions here. This is a good. It's a simple question, but a good question that deserves to be answered. I think because it's something people want to will a basic. Is Yehudit in Jerusalem is saying, does your idea of transforming a relationship include recognizing a toxic relationship and breaking it before it poisons you?
Sometimes, yes. Yes. If that is what your inner guidance tells you, yes. Sometimes you had to move away from that course of action and free yourself to new, better relationships. Yeah.
Yeah, and I speaking for myself, you know, I've mentioned this before. I was in an abusive marriage for 22 years, and I did. It took me a long time to break that toxic relationship. I personally didn't have the emotional education at that time to transform, and I was so worn out by it. I didn't have the emotional education or the emotional strength, I have to say, to transform the relationship myself. But the other thing is, a relationship is two people. And, you know, I needed the space to do my inner work alone and away from the relationship, and that was right for me. Some people may be able to do their inner work within the relationship. If that's what you're saying, that sometimes people can stay in a relationship and do the inner work.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But everything sprouts out of yourself, of your core. So when you start doing the transformation in yourself, then the people around you start changing. And then you pretty much follow that dance, where it goes. Where we go from here. And you will see where you go.
Here's a great question I found. Dorina in Mexico is asking, I'm gonna condense it because it's got a lot of information. Basically, she's saying that she now knows that she had a lot of codependency issues when she was earlier in life, and now she says, with a stinging heartache, here's that word again, heartache, with a stinging heartache, she sees that her grown-up kids have fallen into the same pattern. And she's saying, what can I do to help them without interfering in their lives? I want to be respectful, but, you know, how can I help, or what's the best thing? What's the best path of action in that case?
Yeah, focus on yourself. I get this question a lot. Because the older we get, the more we become aware of the patterns that we repeat, and then we have the big aha, my God, this is what my mother was doing, this is what my father was doing, and we get horrorized, you know. It's like, you know, the very thing I hated the most, I'm doing myself, and that is unconsciousness, you know, that is ignorance of self. So that can be changed. And something amazing happens in our children, even if they are adults, when they see a 50, 60-year-old parent doing their job for transformation and seeing the benefits of it. It's like for them, you are giving them permission, hey, you can do it too. You can also change those things yourself. And it's really liberating and empowering, and that's the gift we can give to our children, to do our own work, and they learn from that.
Brilliant. You know, Luis, that's such a powerful statement. I kind of want to wrap up the conversation on that the best gift that we can give our children. And I want to add, because you and I are both grandparents, young grandparents, but you and I are both grandparents, and it's also the best gift we can give our grandchildren as well, is to do the inner work, I believe, and I think that's a beautiful message to wrap things up on. As I mentioned earlier, everyone, Luis is doing one of these free calls every month. And the next one is on March 17th. The sign-up form is not March 17th, March 1st, isn't it? March 1st, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
March 17th is the fundamentals. And that, we don't have the sign-up form for that yet. But if you are interested in taking this much deeper, where it's not a discussion, it's actually a training course with things that you're going to learn, exercises you're going to take away, homework you're going to do, and really deep, you know, going into the process of CMR fundamentals. Regardless of what you are, you know, what path you're going to take, please come back and see us on the 1st of March for the intimate relationships call, and that will be a great supplement to those of you who are going to come on the CMR fundamentals as well. I have enjoyed every minute of working with Luis over this past year and have learned so much from him and enjoyed so much working with him. And I really think that it's going to be a terrific course. I can't wait to get our feet wet with that.
Yeah. And also, I'd like to add something else. if you find any value in what you heard today, just send this link to your friends and let them know, family members, let them know that this is available, that every month we're going to get together to go deeper into different areas of our own self to have a better life for all of us.
That's
so
right.
We can
That's
do
right.
that together.
So if next month is the intimate relationship call, bring your honey. Bring your honey to the call. And, you know, and or prospective honey, or just have a, you know, if you're single, then bring all your single friends and listen. And it's something will be gotten from it. It'll be a really interesting call, really interesting call. Apologies if we didn't get to any of your questions today. Luis always takes the questions for topics for blog posts, so or for articles for the newsletter. So hopefully if your specific question hasn't been answered today, you'll see it in an upcoming newsletter that he'll be sending to you in the next few months. And anything else we want to say, Luis? One last thing? Want to leave people with one thing?
Well, transformation is possible, and only you can do it for yourself. So I wish you the best, and I see you in a month.
Great. And thank you. And this is Lynn Serafin, and I will see you next time, too. And this has been Transforming Personal Relationships with Luis on Healthy Us on February 8th, 2011. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everyone.